यशोदनन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदनन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन अञ्जन जमुना तीरावन चारि रावण चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनन्द
Jakacharya, Astotara Shata, Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Srimad Prabhupada ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this morning we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, verse number 32, answers by citing the Lord's version.
Yavanaham yatha bhavo yadrupa guna karmaka tathaiva tatva vijnanam Astu te mad anugraha Yavanaham yatha bhavo Yadrupa guna karmaka Tathaiva tatva vijnanam Astu te mad anugraha
Please chant.
Yavanaham yatha bhavo. Yavanaham yatha bhavo.
Yadrupa guna karmaka
tathaiva tatva vijnanam
astu te madanugraha
yavanaham yatha bhavo.
Anyone else?
Yavanaham yatha bhavo yadrupa guna karmaka tathaiva tatva vijnanam astu te madanugraha.
Thank you, word to word. Yavan, as I'm in eternal form, aham, myself, yatha, as much as, bhavaha, transcendental existence, yat, those, rupa, various forms and colors, guna, qualities, karmakaha, activities, tatha, so and so, eva, certainly, tatva vijnanam, factual realization, astu, let it be, te, unto you, mat, my, anugrahat, by causeless mercy. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. All of me, namely my actual eternal form and my transcendental existence, color, qualities, and activities, let all be awakened within you by factual realization out of my causeless mercy. Purport. The secret of success in understanding the intricacies of knowledge of the Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, is the causeless mercy of the Lord. Even in the material world, the father of many sons discloses the secret of his position to the pet sons. The father discloses the confidence unto the son whom he thinks worthy. An important man in the social order can be known by his mercy only. Similarly, one must be very dear to the Lord in order to know the Lord. The Lord is unlimited. No one can know him completely. But one's advancement in the transcendental service of the Lord can make one eligible to know the Lord. Here we can see that the Lord is sufficiently pleased with Brahmaji, and therefore he offers his causeless mercy to him, so that Brahmaji may have the factual realization of the Lord by his mercy only. In the Vedas also it is stated that a person cannot know the Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead, simply by dint of mundane education or intellectual gymnastics. One can know the Supreme Truth if one has unflinching faith in the bona fide spiritual master as well as in the Lord. Such a faithful person, even though illiterate in the mundane sense, can know the Lord automatically by the mercy of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita also, it is said that the Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone, and he keeps himself concealed from the faithless by his yoga maya potency. To the faithful, the Lord reveals himself in his form, qualities, and pastimes. The Lord is not formless, as wrongly conceived by the impersonalists, but his form is not like one that we have experienced. The Lord discloses his form even to the extent of measurement to his pure devotees, and that is the meaning of Yavan, as explained by Srila Jiva Goswami, the greatest scholar of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord discloses the transcendental nature of his existence. The mundane wranglers make mundane conceptions of the form of the Lord. It is said in the revealed scriptures that the Lord has no mundane form, Therefore, persons with a poor fund of knowledge conclude that he must be formless. They cannot distinguish between the mundane form and the spiritual form. According to them, without a mundane form, one must be formless. This conclusion is also mundane because formlessness is the opposite conception of form. Negation of mundane conception does not establish a transcendental fact. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord has a transcendental form and that he can utilize any one of his senses for any purpose. For example, he can eat with his eyes. He can see with his legs. In the mundane conception of form, one cannot eat with one's eyes or see with his leg. That is the difference between mundane body and the spiritual body of Satchidananda. A spiritual body is not formless. It is a different type of body of which we cannot conceive with our present mundane senses. Formless, therefore, means devoid of mundane form, or possessing a spiritual body of which the non-devotee can have no conception by the speculative method. The Lord discloses to the devotee his unlimited varieties of transcendental bodies, all identical with one another with different kinds of bodily features. Some of the transcendental bodies of the Lord are blackish, some of them are whitish, some of them are reddish, some are yellowish, some of them are four-handed, and some of them two-handed. Some of them are like the fish, and some are like the lion. All these different transcendental bodies of the Lord, without any differential category, are disclosed to the devotees of the Lord by the mercy of the Lord. And thus, the impersonalist false arguments claiming the formlessness of the Supreme Truth do not appeal to a devotee of the Lord, even though such a devotee may not be very advanced in devotional service. The Lord has unlimited numbers of transcendental qualities, and one of them is his affection for his unalloyed devotees. In the history of the mundane world, we can appreciate his transcendental qualities. The Lord incarnates himself for the protection of his devotees and for the annihilation of the faithless. His activities are in relationship with his devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of such activities of the Lord in relationship with his devotees, and the non-devotees have no knowledge of such pastimes. The Lord lifted the Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old and protected his pure devotees at Vrindavan from the wrath of Indra, who was overflooding the place with rain. Now, this lifting of Govardhan Hill by a seven-year-old boy may be unbelievable for the faithless, but for the devotees, it's absolutely believable. The devotees believe in the almighty potency of the Lord, while the faithless say that the Lord is almighty, but do not believe it. I'll read that again. The devotee believes in the almighty potency of the Lord, while the faithless say that the Lord is almighty, but do not believe it. Such men with a poor fund of knowledge do not know that the Lord is the Lord eternally, and that one cannot become the Lord by meditation for millions of years or by mental speculation for billions of years. The impersonal interpretation of the mundane wranglers is completely refuted in this verse, because it is clearly stated here that the Supreme Lord has his qualities, form, pastimes, and everything that a person has. All these descriptions of the transcendental nature of the personality of Godhead are factual realizations by the devotee of the Lord, and by the causeless mercy of the Lord, they are revealed to his pure devotee and to no one else. I was just thinking, Prabhupada, nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatyadesha tarana. You can see his purports. Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatyadesha tarana. वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासन्निधिः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. So here we are, Lord Brahma speaking. Lord Brahma asked some questions, and now Lord Krishna is going to speak the Chatushloki, as we heard yesterday, from tomorrow. And so Lord Brahma is speaking. I was thinking, what a honor it is to sit on the seat of Vyasadeva and glorify Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is our, like Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya of ISKCON, and Lord Brahma is the founder acharya of our whole sampradaya. And so we're hearing about Lord Brahma here. Srila Prabhupada says in the earlier purport, he said, to achieve success of life, one should follow example of Lord Brahma. To achieve success in life. And he also mentions that Lord Brahma is our original spiritual master. So we follow in his footsteps. Even unknowingly, in one sense, we are following in Lord Brahma's footsteps. We see that in the third canto, the same pastime of the creation is mentioned. And there we see that there's a little more description, and Lord Brahma is asking. Lord Brahma is, in his ignorance, he contemplated and he said, who am I? You know, he was sitting on top of the lotus and he's like, who am I? Where has this sprouted from? There must be something downwards. And so this is our situation. We were also, all of us who are sitting here, all of us, those who are listening, we all went through a situation where we're asking, who am I? What is the purpose of life? We all went through that. And so Brahma is doing the same thing. He's wondering who he is and what is his purpose and where did he come from. And so he entered the water through the channel of the stem, but he still could not trace out the root till he heard tapa. So when he heard the word tapa, then that's when he realized, okay, to sit down and let me perform penance. And kind of similarly, we also were looking for something, looking for the truth, and then we came in contact with the transcendental sound vibration, either through the kirtan, through a book, through meeting the devotees, through meeting maybe Divyanga Prabhu on the streets, we got a book. I mean, we all kind of went through that, and so we came in touch with the sound vibration. And like Lord Brahma, he meditated, and we're also doing the same thing. And so now Lord Brahma, after he meditated, he got darshan. He concentrated and he got darshan. So here we see in Lord Brahma a success story. He's our original spiritual master. He's the founder of our sampradaya. He did all that and he had darshan of the Vaikuntha planets. And according to some, of Goloka, Vrindavan, and he met the Lord face to face, and he actually shook hands with him. So here, it's a success story of Lord Brahma. And so now when Lord Brahma had darshan, that was not the end of everything. He had darshan, that's the first thing, he shook his hands, but then Lord Krishna congratulated him and he asked whatever he wanted to ask. And now Lord Brahma is asking some questions. he asked some questions and Krishna responded. And so here we are, Krishna is responding, and we get today's verse. All of me, namely my actual eternal form and my transcendental existence, color, qualities, and activities, let all be awakened within you by factual realization out of my causeless mercy. So Srila Prabhupada is saying here in his purport, the first line he says, the secret of success is understanding the intricacies of knowledge is the causeless mercy of the Lord. So, causeless mercy of the Lord. Almost seems like Lord Brahma really doesn't have to do anything. It's causeless. Causeless mercy means it doesn't have a cause. Yeah? Causeless mercy, there is no cause. But yet we see that, well, the next sentence Prabhupada writes, even in the material world, the father of many sons discloses the secret of his position to the pet sons. So, you know, when you think about pet sons, maybe the youngest one or the cutest one, you know, like Ajamil, the littlest one was his pet son. So you may think that pet son means, you know, something has no reason again. But then we see in the next sentence, Prabhupada writes, the father discloses the confidence onto the son of whom he thinks worthy. So somebody who is worthy. So if somebody is worthy, then how is that causeless? Prabhupada, after he writes, somebody who is worthy. But the next sentence, Prabhupada again writes, an important man in the social order can be known by his mercy only. So then he brings the mercy factor again. So we have, Prabhupada is saying it's by mercy only, but then somebody who is worthy, and then he says by mercy only. So, at least to my understanding, is that it's not pet son, it's not whimsical. So Krishna will just give, just because he has some pet son, you know. It's not whimsical, but neither is it automatic like karma. Karma is automatic. You do something, and for sure you get something returned. It's automatic. No, it's not automatic. So you have to become worthy, and then if Krishna so desires, he will shower the mercy. Not that he's obliged to. He's not obliged to. We chant 16 rounds and we come to the morning program and we do this and we do that. Krishna's not obliged to give himself. We don't automatically become his pet child. Not necessarily. So it's not an automatic thing, but yet you have to become worthy. Earlier in the chapter, it's described that Brahma, and seeing Brahma present before him, the Lord accepted him as worthy. And it's interesting. He says, and to be controlled as he desired. So when the Lord saw Lord Brahma, he accepted him as worthy to create living beings and to be controlled as he desired. So he saw that Lord Brahma is a good instrument. He'll be a good instrument in his hands. And it further described that the Lord is sufficient. Here we can see the Lord is, you know, he's sufficiently pleased with Brahmaji, and therefore he offers his causeless mercy to him. That's what Srila Prabhupada wrote in the purport. He's sufficiently pleased with Brahmaji, and therefore he offered him. Again, so there is some qualification, but it's not automatic. Now, to give you another example, about Lord Indra. I was thinking about Indra, how he also pleases Lord Krishna. We know the story of Vritasura. In the story of Vritasura, there was, Indra had appointed Vishwaroop to be their priest, but then Vishwaroop was doing a little cheating, and so then Krishna killed this Brahmin Vishwaroop, and then his father Tvasta, he created this demon, Vritrasura. And so when Vritrasura appeared, he was destroying everything, he was killing everybody, and so Indra got very panicky. So he gathered all the demigods, and he actually sincerely prayed to the Lord. And so when they did that, it described that Krishna was very pleased, and he appeared within their hearts and then before them. And this is what Krishna said to the demigods. O beloved demigods, you have offered your prayers to me with great knowledge, and I'm certainly most pleased with you. So it seems like same as Lord Brahma. Lord Indra prayed to Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna appeared, Vishnu. And when he appeared, the Lord was pleased. He says, I'm certainly most pleased with you. And then he says, a person is liberated by such knowledge, and thus he remembers my exalted position, which is above the conditions of material life. Such a devotee is fully purified by offering prayers in full knowledge. And then he says, interesting, he says, although it is true that nothing is difficult for one to obtain when I'm pleased with him, a pure devotee whose mind is exclusively fixed upon me does not ask me for anything but the opportunity to engage in devotional service. So you see what Indra has done here. What Krishna is certainly pleased with Indra. So he says, I'm very pleased with you. But then he kind of chastises him. And he says, you know, I mean, yeah, you're saying that I can grant anything. I can grant anything. So you want somebody to kill Vritrasura somehow or other? Yes, I can grant. That is not a problem for me. But by the way, a pure devotee does not ask me for anything. And Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport, when the demigods finished offering their prayers, they anxiously waited for their enemy Vritrasura to be killed. He said, this means that the demigods are not pure devotees. So we see that Krishna is pleased, but he's not so happy. Prabhupada writes in the purport about what Krishna is thinking. Krishna says that, Prabhupada is saying that the Lord wanted the demigods to pray for unalloyed devotional service. The Lord regretted that the demigods did not ask for pure devotional service. So definitely, Indra is not going to be Lord Krishna's pet son. He's not going to be his pet son. He's not going to reveal what he's revealing to Lord Brahma, because Lord Brahma, he was submissive, he was worthy, he was an instrument. That's how Lord Krishna felt. And then, so we see that as devotees, as practicing devotees, we have to be very careful what our consciousness is. Not that we have a perfect situation in this material world. Certainly we're just hearing how this young boy, Krishna Kesava Prabhu, he left his body in a moment like that. And Krishna is so kind that he sent a couple of devotees to help him hear the holy name as he left his body. So yeah, this material world can certainly not be perfect. So we have to be careful about understanding what devotional service is and how devotional service can be performed in different modes. Devahuti, in the third canto, Devahuti, when she's talking to her son Kapila Dev, she asks her son about devotional service. And at that time, Lord Kapila describes to Mother Devahuti, his mother, about devotional service done in different modes. Devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent, and angry, that's considered in the mode of darkness. I hope nobody is in that mood. Then he describes the worship of the deities in the temple by separatists with a motive of material enjoyment, fame, and opulence is devotion in mode of passion. Whether it's worshiping the deities or whether it's doing any service, any kind of devotional service, when it's done with some material enjoyment, desiring for fame and opulence, this is what we see that Indra was doing. He wanted his material enjoyment in his heavenly planet, and so whoever was coming in between, he wanted them out. And so he prayed. So he knows what to do. He prayed. That was nothing, absolutely nothing wrong in doing devotional service, even in different modes. But we're talking about trying to be a pet child where, like Lord Brahma, where Krishna will show and reveal himself to us. And then, mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, devotional service, one offers the results of his activities in order to free himself from the inebrieties of fruitive activities. That is devotion in the mode of goodness. So in other words, if you're performing devotional service to be free from miseries and wanting liberation, that is in the mode of goodness. So that is also not wanted. But then Kapil Dev says about what is transcendental devotional service. This is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as the water of Ganga flows naturally down towards the ocean. So that is devotional service in transcendence. When our mind is automatically drawn, we want to hear about Krishna, we want to hear about his pastimes, we want to hear about his beauty, we want to hear about his associates, we want to chant his holy name. When we are drawn to that, that is transcendental, devotional service in transcendence. And in that pastime, that's interesting, in the pastime of Ritasura. We all know Ritasura, he's a demon, although a devotee in his previous life, but in this life, he didn't do any devotional service, at least externally he didn't do anything. He came, he appeared, and he was ready to destroy everything. Sounds like really mode of passion and ignorance going on there. And so, but we know that Vritrasura, his prayers, that are very famous prayers, and actually Bhagavatam is known, one of the reasons Bhagavatam is glorified, is described as the Purana that has Vritrasura story, because the Vritrasura story in the Bhagavatam is described differently than is described in the Vedic scriptures, because here in the Bhagavatam, Vritrasura is the hero and not Indra. And so when Vritrasura, when he's about to be killed, or when he actually tells Indra, go ahead and kill me, right in the battlefield, which is and he knows he's about to leave his body. When you're about to leave your body in such a state, in such a difficult state, I would assume your attachments surface, or what's in your subconsciousness comes up. And this is Vritasura's prayer. He's not interested. He says, I do not desire to enjoy Dhruva Loka, the heavenly planets, or the planet where Lord Brahma resides. I don't want that. He says, I don't want that if that is means that I have to give up your lotus feet. He says, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's asking him, I'm wandering throughout the material world as a result of my fruitive activities. Therefore, I simply seek friendship in the association of your pious and enlightened devotees. My attachment to my body, wife, children, and home is continuing by the spell of your external energy, but I wish to be attached to them no longer. I wish to be attached to them no longer. Let my mind, my consciousness, and everything I have be attached only to you. And so, Parikshit Maharaj is, he actually says when he hears about Vritasura's prayers, he's just surprised that how is that Vritasura was talking such elevated prayers. And it, one interesting that Parikshit says there, it says demigods situated in the mode of goodness and great saints. I was surprised that he mentions and great saints. Demigods situated in the mode of goodness and great saints cleansed of the dirt of material enjoyment. So their heart is clean. Cleansed of the dirt of material enjoyment hardly ever render pure devotional service at the lotus feet of Mukunda. I was like pretty shocked to read that. But this is the situation. Hardly anybody renders pure devotion, even those whose heart is cleansed from material enjoyment. So, we have to be conscious of the subtleties of our desires, our subconsciousness. What's, you know, consciously we may come and pray to Krishna Balaram, oh Balaram, oh my dear sir, please remove all my anarthas, please let me be attached to performing devotional service. But then what's deep down, what's deep down comes out during japa time, where all the attachments surface there. That's what happens. So yeah, so this is so important that we hear about devotional service, we hear how Lord Brahma is actually performing, how he, our original spiritual master, how did he become a petson, how he meditated, and how we can become his pet children. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments on this subject matter?
Thank you for the nice class.
Thank you, Prabhu.
You were talking about devotional service in Sita Sattva, and I was just thinking that it's a good way to gauge where we are spiritually with how much I'm attracted to hearing and chanting. Because if we're not talking about Krishna throughout the day, we can see, okay, we can kind of gauge where I'm at, and it's a good reflection. Do I want to talk about other subject matter? Do I want to talk about the material, what other people are doing, or this or that? But if we want to talk about Krishna with other people, say, okay.
Yes. That's yes, very good way to gauge ourselves. Yes. What are we talking about during the day? What are we discussing? Actually, you know, when you have notes, you have so many notes, but this helps me to wanting to read something to see what what does it look like in the spiritual world? And you're talking about, what are we talking about, yeah? What are we discussing as we're going about our day? So these are the gopis of Vraj. This is what they do. Yeah? You want to hear what they do?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Why are the women of Vraj so fortunate? Because they always engage in Krishna Sankirtan, no matter what else they do. They sing while they milk the cows and churn butter for their husbands and children. They sing while they apply kumkum, chandan, and other cosmetics to their bodies. They sing while they swing on swings. They sing while they comfort their babies, while they clean their houses with water of cow dung. They sing Krishna's names while cooking, grinding grains, smearing the courtyards with auspicious paste, and beautifying the walls of their houses with painted designs. Thus the gopis' unavoidable duties in taking care of their families and maintaining their own bodies do not at all obstruct the ecstasy the gopis feel in worshipping Krishna. Rather, these contribute to it by giving suitable occasions for Sankirtan. Isn't that amazing? So it's just so easy to do, but it's so hard to do. It's so easy to do is to sing. You can sing all the time. You can make up your own songs. We got plenty of songs. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has so many songs with all different moods, when you're feeling low, when you're feeling high, when you want to praise Krishna, when you want to say, oh my God, I'm just such a fallen soul. I mean, so all varieties of songs are there by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, or we can just chant Hare Krishna. It's so easy.
They spoke Sanskrit too, so every sentence is a song.
Yeah, we can make also English songs. Look at, I mean, you have heard the songs of Mother Jamini, what her name is? Yamini. And Baba Tarini. There's such nice English songs there that you can sing. They're all about Krishna's pastimes. So you can sing those. Okay, you can write your own songs. Yeah. We can sing all day long, like the gopis do. I noticed sometime Nagaraj Prabhu, he's always singing. He comes, he was walking, he's singing Hare Krishna or something other. Yeah, sing. Huh? Narayan Muni is always singing. Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. We can say Krishna, 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 Krishna Keshava. But yeah, we can encourage each other to sing. To sing. You want to sing? Who wants to sing now?
But so, yes. We're discussing how somebody who's worthy, and thinking that it's the one who actually doesn't think they're worthy, but they really desire Krishna, they're really, you know, they don't want anything but Krishna. That's like, you know, who Krishna bestows his mercy on. So it's kind of this, you know, if we think we're worthy, if we think that, you know, there's the pride.
Yes.
And I'm also reflecting from this that a lot of time the mercy is taken away, you know, because we're hearing Krishna's bestowing it. When we think we're doing it, then it's taken away. And I've seen in my own life, but if I think I'm doing it, I think I'm better than other people too.
Mm. Yes.
And then, you know, oh, Krishna's gonna remove that, and you know, because he's the one doing it, he's the one giving it.
That's why Lord Brahma is praying here. It's so nice. Again, following his footsteps, he's praying. He prays ahead of time. You know, you're going to use me to create, but please don't let pride get me and think I'm the supreme. And then later on we will hear that how Krishna says, don't worry. You will not be affected by it as long as you remember me. So if you remember me, then you will not be affected by pride. You're not going to think that it is me who is creating, it is I am the Supreme. So, yeah.
I was also reading in Nectar Devotion, like how tiny the soul is. It's a hundred, what is it, thousandths the tip of a hair. Saying we're so tiny to think, you know, so understanding how small we are, and then, yeah, how amazing Krishna is. That's...
Yes. Thank you, Prabhu. Any other reflection, comments? No? Mother Narayani? Okay, so we shall end here. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna. Remind everybody to sing, chant about Krishna. Jai.